Our scripture reading this morning is in James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8, and it can be found in your pew Bibles on page 1880. I'll give you a minute to turn to that. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives it generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, he must believe and not doubt, because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That man should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all he does. Here ends the scripture reading. We thank God for his holy word. Please be seated.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Wendy, for reading the scripture for us. One of the things that we have done here in the past is, after the scripture reading, we say, thanks be to God for his word. And so you'll see in your bulletin, we put that back in there. So next week, when the scripture is read, remember to not look at your bulletin, but remember to say, thanks be to God. Amen?
Amen.
We are thankful for his word. Thank you, Joe, for leading us this morning. Thank you, choir, for returning. Aren't we thankful that the choir was here again this morning? That was wonderful. To hear them lead us, that was amazing. It's especially nice for guys who sing like I do. See, it's a blessing to have people around me who can sing well. As you've been in James, after the scripture reading here, we're going to continue there this morning. Have you ever been in a situation where you felt unprepared? Where you felt unprepared? I can share with you that I am not a good public reader. When it comes to reading things in public, I am not good at it. Reading out loud is not my strong suit. In fact, the words get all mixed up. I get confused. I stumble over my words. I am not a good public reader of anything. And so as a child, seventh grade, as we were reading in school, little paragraphs of social studies or whatever it might be, I would count ahead the number of kids who were in front of me, and I would look ahead to see how many paragraphs that was forward, and I would read that paragraph over and over and over and over again, so that by the time it got to me, I would be able to read and not be embarrassed and not stumble over my words, because I was hearing all the kids around me read so well, and I knew that is not me. I'm not prepared for this. And so I would read over and over and over again in order to be prepared. I think we've all probably run into situations where we have been unprepared for something. As James is speaking of trials here, trials particularly that come as we proclaim our faith, as we live out our Christian lives in the culture around us, there will be times where we feel unprepared to deal with things that happen. Whether it's trials that come from proclaiming our faith or just trials in general in life, we will find ourselves unprepared. One of the great tragedies and one of the most notorious examples of being unprepared was the Titanic. Did you realize that the Titanic could carry as many as 3,300 people? As many as 3,300 people. At the time of its sinking, it was carrying around 2,200. And as the Titanic began to sink and they realized that they have a tragedy on their hands, they have a trial on their hands, they have an emergency on their hands, there's two things that became very apparent. Number one, those working the Titanic were not equipped to be able to get the lifeboats effectively loosed from the Titanic. And the second thing that they realized very quickly is that they didn't have enough lifeboats for the number of people on the Titanic. Of the 2,200 people that were on the ship, they only had enough lifeboats for 1,500, 12 to 1,500. 1,500 people passed that night, unprepared for what was going to happen. Have you ever been in a situation in your life, in a trial, where you've been unprepared? Maybe not as significant as the Titanic, but I'm guessing that there have been situations where you either felt like you couldn't read in public or something else where the reality of it is that you felt like you were not ready for this. As we begin to read, once again in James, that's exactly what he's going to be talking about. And there's something that you need in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a circumstance, there is something that you need that you don't have. You don't have it. As you go through life and you run into a trial and you encounter things that happen in the everyday warp and woof of life, you will realize there is something that you need desperately that you don't have. You don't have it. You are unprepared. As prepared as you like to think you are unprepared. What is James talking to us about here? I'm going to read verses 5 through 8, then we will pray. James says, "If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all his ways." Father, as we dive into your word this morning, may your word go out, or may you do a supernatural work in our hearts. May you illumine your word to our hearts through your Holy Spirit. May your Son Jesus stand up and begin to walk around and reveal to us what it is that you want us to hear. We ask this in your Son's name. Amen. James begins here in verse 5 as he continues his conversation with these churches that are scattered throughout the Mediterranean area, these Hebrew Christians who have come to know the Lord, and so they have begun to depart from Judaism in some regard, but they're also not fully accepted within the Roman culture around them. They're going to find themselves in a situation where they are going to run into trial, even as they are proclaiming Christ. They're going to run into situations that are incredibly difficult for them. And so James encourages them in verses 2 through 4 that count it all joy when you incur these trials, that God is at work within these trials, that he is going to be faithful, that he is going to perfect you, that he is going to bring you into the image of Christ. He is faithful in the midst of your trials. That ultimately, someday, through these trials, the Lord will make you complete. He will refine you. He will beautify you. You remember Michelangelo and the Statue of David. God is at work in his people through these trials. But then James says this in verse 5, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him." What is James doing here? What is James doing here? He's just said that God is at work within these trials, but then he says, "If any of you lacks wisdom." What James is doing is he's very nicely, neatly, very tightly realizing and drawing together two realities, that in the midst of going through trials, in the midst of God doing things in your life, there is one thing that you're going to lack. And it's the first thing that you should be asking for. And what is that? Wisdom. James is saying as you go throughout trials in your life, the one thing that you are going to lack is wisdom. You won't know how to handle the trials of life correctly. That's at baseline. You will not know how to do it. And so James here says, if any of you lacks wisdom, this idea of if, do your Bible say if? The idea there of if is not if this is going to happen. It's more of the idea of it is going to happen when this happens. You are going to lack wisdom in the midst of trials. The question then becomes, okay, Jess, what is the biblical understanding of wisdom? What is wisdom? Most simply stated, wisdom is this. In a biblical way, it's the skillful application of the knowledge of God. It's the skillful application of the knowledge of who God is. It's the ability to live out your life on a daily basis, understanding what God's desire is for you as you navigate through your daily life. It's the ability to understand what God's will is for you as you live your daily life. It's the ability to see life coming at you as it happens on a daily basis, and to be able to have a filter by which to see life that has the Lord first as you begin to operate in life. Wisdom is the ability to live life with a posture toward the Lord of wanting to please Him. It's the capacity to respond to life's circumstances, to please Him, and to know what He would desire for you in any given situation. Wisdom. It's the ability to say, okay, God, in this situation, what is it that you actually want from me, and to know His heart and to be able to respond in a way that reflects who He is, what He desires for you. What is James saying? This is something that you lack. This is something that you lack. The idea of lacking something here also has to do with if it pertained to food or drink, to be without food or drink, to be without clothing. It's something that's essential for your everyday life. What James is saying here is that the very thing that you need, the very thing that is essential for your everyday life as you walk with the Lord, is something you don't have. What is essential for your everyday walk with the Lord is something you don't have. How does that make you feel? If you're on the Titanic, it makes you feel desperate. If you're a 12-year-old kid sitting in a 7th grade English room, it makes you feel panicked, insecure. If you're walking through the trials of life, it can feel like your life is turned upside down and you don't know which way to turn. James is saying, if any of you lacks wisdom, this is going to happen. You will lack wisdom. So that's the bad news. You don't have it. You say, well, Jess, what's the good news? The good news is that James says, if anybody lacks wisdom, let him ask God. Let him ask God. What do you guys have in your Bibles? Does it say let him ask God, or he should? He should. The idea here is you must ask God. You must ask Him. So as I'm living out my daily life, as things happen and I'm walking through my day and trial hits, or circumstances happen that are beyond my control, the very first thing that comes to mind for me should be this. I must ask God for wisdom on how to handle this situation. I need Him to inform my heart as to how to handle this situation. It's not a you might want to ask God. It's a humble suggestion that you ask God. We would recommend that you ask God, or you might want to take under advisement. That's a nice way to say we're going to ignore you, but thank you for your input anyway. This is not a take under advisement situation. This is a you must ask God for this. You must do it. If anybody lacks wisdom, let him or he must ask God. Why is it that he would ask God? Why is it that this person, this woman of faith, this man of faith would ask God? Because of this. Let him or her ask God, who gives generously without reproach. Who gives generously without reproach. Do you realize that as you walk through your life and the trials and the challenges of life, as you're navigating through all of those and you run into something, and as you go to your knees and you say, Lord, I ask you for wisdom. Please give me wisdom in this situation. Do you realize that your Heavenly Father is kneeling down waiting for you to ask? Just come to me. Come to me and ask. I just desire to give to you. I'm waiting to hear your voice. Ask me for wisdom. I'm here for you. So often, we try to navigate through life. We try to navigate through trials. We try to navigate through situations. And we think somehow we can do it on our own. Somehow our own mental capacities, or somehow our own abilities, our own talents are enough to help us get through the trials of life. And James is saying the one thing that you need most, you don't have. So ask. Ask for it. What does this look like to ask God for these things? Jesus in Matthew 7 says this. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive, and the one who seeks, finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which of you, if his son asks him for a piece of bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If then, you who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give you the things that you ask him? Jesus says that you, even being fallen humans, know how to give your children good gifts when they ask for them. For the last 3 months, Denver has been asking us, Trish and I, to get him a new glove for baseball. Every time we took him to baseball practice and he would look out in the area where the gloves are kept, guess what he would do? He'd walk out of baseball, he'd run right over to the gloves, and he'd look at the gloves, and he'd say, Dad, I want this one. Every single time. It was the same one. He picked out the same one every single time. I want this one. Can we get this one today? Is this one okay? Can we get this one today? Denver, I need to talk to your mama. You always need to talk to mama. Denver, yes, I need to talk to mama about this. We don't make these kinds of decisions without talking to one another. Can I get a hamburger at Burger King? No, Denver, if you're hungry, we're going to go home and eat at home. But over and over and over again, he's like, Dad, can I get this? Can I have this? Can I get this glove? Now, I'm not a begrudging father. I hope I'm not a begrudging father. But as we consider what it looks like for us to go to our Heavenly Father, and we say, Heavenly Father, in the midst of this trial, I desire wisdom. Please give me wisdom and discernment in the midst of this trial. He says, my joy is to give that to you. I love to give you what you need. As I bow down low and I take you in my arms and I give you my wisdom so that you can navigate this life and we will walk through this together, I am here for you to take you by the hand and walk with you. I'm giving you my wisdom. so you'll know how to walk with me through these situations. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach. This idea of without reproach. First of all, I'm sorry, generously, it just means simply to give. Just simply to give, no strings attached. Just simply, wholeheartedly, without being mixed with any kind of motivation, he just simply gives. The idea here of giving without reproach. Have you ever received a gift from someone, but it's done in kind of a passive-aggressive way? Receive a gift in a passive-aggressive way where they kind of give it to you, but they're like, okay, all right, fine, I'll give it to you because I'm good, because I'm nice, I'll go ahead and give it to you. I understand you kind of want this, but all right, a passive-aggressive way of doing it. Or maybe they do it in a kind of a begrudging way, or maybe a condescending way. Or maybe they give it to you with the expectation that, oh, well, look how nice I was, look how good I was to give this to you. Or maybe they do it in such a way as to make you feel like you're shameful for needing it. That you should feel ashamed for needing it. This idea of him giving without reproach means that he gives to you gladly without making you feel guilty for asking. Without making you feel guilty for needing him. Without making you feel like you are less for needing his help. He gives it to you in a way in which he loves you and desires to be there for you. Without begrudging. Without making you feel guilty. Fully recognizing your need and filling it in a way that a good heavenly Father would desire to fill that need. The wisest man who ever lived was King Solomon. As a young king, after David dies, he is put on the throne, and he comes to the Lord and he says, "And now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of David, my father. Although I am but a little child, I do not know how to go in or how to go out or how to come in. I'm the king now, and I have no idea what I'm supposed to be doing when it comes to ruling your people. And your servant is in the midst of these people that you have chosen, a great people, too many to be numbered or counted." And then he says this, "Give your servant therefore an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil for who is able to govern your great people." See, I can't read very well in front of people. See, I'm proving it right now. Half the time you guys are like, what did he just read? What language was that? What does the Lord do when Solomon comes to him humbly saying, "I'm just a little child here, and I don't have the wisdom to be able to lead these people. I have no idea what I'm doing. Lord, please grant me your wisdom. I am in need right now." What does God do? He says, "Because you didn't ask for riches or long life, because your heart was before me in the midst of your need, I'm going to give you everything you need. I'm going to pour out wisdom on you, so that you'll know how to walk among me. You'll know how to walk among the people. You will know how to lead well. I'm going to give you my wisdom." Do you see the hard attitude here of Solomon? Do you see the hard attitude that we're intended to have toward the Lord here? We go to him with an expectation. That's why it says in faith. That we go to him in faith with the expectation that he really is our good heavenly Father who loves us, who desires to give these things to us. He desires to give us wisdom as we desire to walk with him, as we desire to navigate life, asking for wisdom in faith. It's one of the most important things you can pray for. It's one of the most important things you can ask for. Ask the Lord for. Lord, please grant me wisdom. Grant me wisdom. I know that many of us have careers that are challenging. We have a wide variety of careers in our midst, even right now. Everything from teachers to police officers. Incredible. Nurses. It's incredible. In the midst of your life, in the midst of your career, in the midst of the things that you are going through, when things become difficult, the Lord desires that first and foremost you would say, Lord, I ask you for wisdom. Grant me wisdom in the midst of this. Help me to know how to walk with you through this and to know what your heart is for this situation. We ask in faith as we face him. But let him ask in faith with not doubting. Verse 6. For the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is double-minded, unstable in all his ways. It's in here in verse 6 where James turns a corner. He begins to turn the corner from the person who goes to the Lord, asking the Lord in faith, to the person who does not have faith in the Lord. The person needs to ask in faith without doubting. And then he says this, halfway through verse 6, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. The one who doubts. The one who feels like in the midst of life's trials that they can handle it themselves, that they can bear the burden of these things themselves, that they can navigate these things themselves, is like a wave of the sea that's tossed about to and fro like the wind. There is no stability in their lives. There is no solid foundation that they can stand on. There is no place secure that they can stand. Why is that? Because life's trials become too great for them. And if they can't hold on to the Lord and ask the Lord for wisdom, if they don't have that relationship with him where they can turn toward him and say, Lord, I am in need of you in the midst of this, life will throw them back and forth. They'll have no stability in their life. The wind will blow this way and they'll go that way. The wind will blow that way and they'll go that way. The waves will throw them all over the place. One of the most disorienting things that can ever happen to someone is to be out on the ocean in the midst of waves and you get seasick. This is not a fun situation to be in. If you've ever experienced it, this is one of the most unpleasant ways of living. It's incredibly disorienting, incredibly painful. You can't live that way. James is saying that the person who does not go to the Lord for wisdom, does not have a posture toward the Lord of trusting him and saying, Lord, I'm in need of your wisdom, I'm dependent upon you, is like a person who's out on the sea in a ship being tossed to and fro, thrown this way and that way. There's no stability in their lives. They have no place to stand where their feet can be anchored. In 1991 in Gloucester, Massachusetts, October 28th, cold front and a low pressure came down from Canada. As Hurricane Grace came up from the coast of Florida. And as the two met, and the northern cold created a nor'easter, spinning the that way for you guys, it sucked in the hurricane and became what was called the perfect storm. In the midst of this perfect storm was the Andrea Gale. Shipping vessel, right? A fishing vessel that came out of Gloucester, Massachusetts. And as they were going to the Outer Banks, as they were going out to fish, they were trying to make their way back in, and they encountered waves as high as 100 feet. As they attempted to navigate through these waves of 100 feet and winds of 75 miles per hour, they realized that they were encountering something that was far too great for them. Tossed to and fro, back and forth, thrown overboard, the crew of six were lost. The perfect storm. This picture of someone who is not trusting the Lord in the midst of trial, not trusting the Lord in the midst of hardship, not trusting the Lord in the midst of what life has to throw at them, is exactly that. They're being tossed to and fro by life in such a way that they have no stability. Their hearts are not inclined to the Lord. They don't have the ability to call out to Him. They don't have the desire to call out to Him. They want to run the engines as fast as they can to get through the situation under their own power. And James is saying, you cannot do that. You don't have what it takes. Let him ask in faith with not doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, double-hearted is the idea, unstable in all his ways. As we begin to navigate trials and tribulations in life, as we begin to be faced with these things in the midst of our daily experience, James is saying, call out to the Lord for wisdom. Call out to Him. Pray to Him. Cast your cares upon Him. Make your needs known to Him. You don't have what it takes to get through this. You must call out to Him. He will walk you through this. We started by singing hymn 352. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, rolling as a mighty ocean in its fullness over me. Underneath me, all around me, is the current of thy love, leading onward, leading homeward to my glorious rest above. What is James saying here? James is saying here that in the midst of the waves, the turbulence, the challenges, the trials of life, that as you cast your cares upon the Lord, as you call on Him in the midst of your need for wisdom, you are calling out to the Lord Jesus in His deep, deep love for you. Oh, the deep, deep love of Jesus. Vast, unmeasured, free, all around you. In the midst of the trials, you can reach out and you can grab a hold of your Heavenly Father. You can grab a hold of Jesus. You can cast your cares upon Him. And you can say, Lord, grant me wisdom. I want to walk through this with You. I want to trust You. What is God's answer to that prayer? God's answer to that prayer is this. I've already given you my Son. What more could I give you? And for you to come to ask me for wisdom, having already given you my Son, I say yes. I will give you everything you need. Everything. Father, as we traverse and walk through this life, Lord, may we be those who recognize our dependence upon you. May we be those who recognize that we are in need of you, that we are desperately in need of you. That we would recognize that we don't have what we need and that we can run to you, we can jump in your lap, we can be taken in your arms, we can be comforted by you, we can know that you are sufficient for all of our needs. Lord, may we remember that in the midst of trial, in the midst of tribulation, that the first thing that we need to do is ask for wisdom. That we would ask for your wisdom, that we might be able to walk with you, that we might be able to know you more deeply, to be satisfied in your love, to be comforted by your presence, and to recognize the deep, deep love of Jesus. Father, we thank you for this time that we've had this morning. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.